Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. We are live in the studio tonight because the chill is in the air. And no music, completely naked podcast 549, all Clinton, all the time. We're going to talk about Hillary Clinton, and mainly because in podcast 549, I have some additional points about the Hillary Clinton health scare and controversy. So I decided that I just do this without any music or anything else, just what I like to call a naked podcast, because I don't do that very often. And my neighbors are up. It's late at night. We're always up. This is like a 24-hour house over here between the people next door to me and me. You might hear some house noise. So, and I like that. I like the fact that they're up all night, because I'm up all night. So we're going to talk about some additional points on the Hillary Clinton health scare and controversy in podcast 549. Well, we have a saying in Minnesota that very little gets done during the summer because people are up at the lake, and you have such a short period of time to spend time with your family and enjoy the weather that most people in Minnesota really don't do much during the summer. So as soon as Labor Day hits, then that's sort of the starting gun for starting to do a lot of business, because in the winter months, we basically work in Minnesota because there's really nothing else to do. And so we're back on the front burner for client appreciation. And today we have a much more diverse workforce. You know, back in the day when grandma and grandpa were running the business, you took people, to Charlie's for a steak dinner, or you had a fishing trip, or today, you know, I'd say during the 90s and the 2000s, you send out promotional things to people with your company name on it, or you could do the Minnesota Classic, which is a boat trip on the lake. Or you can try something new and different, something social and memorable, and something that really fits with the diverse workforce and client base that we have today in American business. You can socialize and bond with your clients who are engaged in creating something unique that's creative and different, which involves painting a picture. Now, you might think, well, this is weird. I don't care what kind of business you have. A lot of people say, well, you know, I've got a manly business. I'm a concrete guy, and all my clients are men and whatever. Well, they might have wives, and they might want to bring their wives to something that's fun and different and exciting. So let me tell you about Brush Studio in the West End in St. Louis Park. First of all, they are event planning ninjas, so they make sure their events are held in a relaxed social setting. Basically, an artist guides a team, whether it's your clients or people that work in your company, through the featured painting step by step. You do not have to have experience painting. It's not paint by numbers. People just have a good time putting their painting together. And clients are going to be amazed at what they're able to create in this. Brush Studio events aren't about painting, as I said, but they're about socializing and working together. And here's the thing. While they're doing this, you can circulate through the room and talk to and bond with your clients. They got room for 55 people at least, and their events are catered from Crave in the West End. Brush Studio also features over 22 brands of beer and an extensive wine collection. A fun, sophisticated way to create a new bonding experience for clients that they are never going to forget, and they will love you for it, I promise you. Here's what you do. Check out the Brush Studio banner at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast page, or visit brushstudio.net. You can reach out to them at 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700. Look for them on Facebook, brushstudio.net. First of all, last podcast, boy, what a mess. So I posted the podcast, What's Wrong with Hillary? It was the Walk and Talk podcast. And I just have a couple of points I want to make. First of all, Mercury is in full retrograde, and this is what happens. You end up making mistakes. And of course, Mercury in full retrograde gives you an excuse to make those kinds of mistakes. What I did was, when I posted that podcast, I transposed some numbers in code, and what you got was podcast 500 or 400. I forget which one it was, but it was one of the podcasts from the campaign trail, which is, of course, interesting because it could have been any podcast. But I transposed some numbers, and the next thing you know, it was a mess. 448 or something like that. I forgot. And I, you know, I didn't find out about it until my son woke me up at about 10:50 the next day and said, you posted the wrong podcast. And I looked at my phone, and it was full of messages and notes. So thanks for your patience on that. Just so you know, when that happens, iTunes updates like every 24 hours, and I don't know about the other services like Stitcher.com and so forth, but it takes them a while to catch up. So, and I don't know about Blog Talk Radio, but nobody listens to BlogTalkRadio.com anyway, so... So I don't really care about blogtalkradio.com, but it was updated on the podcast page, and the streaming changed over, and iTunes changed over, and I'm pretty sure Stitcher and TuneIn changed over. So depending on the feed and depending on when they refresh the feed from my feed, because I host my own podcast, the thing may have caught up or not. Anyway, this is a composite or companion podcast to podcast 548, What's Wrong with Hillary, because that happened over the weekend, this whole thing about, you know, the collapsing at the 9/11 memorial and what's wrong with her and everything else. Well, let me just say a couple things. First of all, isn't it nice for a change to have the mainstream media focused on the Clintons versus Trump? In other words, focused on the problems with the Clinton campaign versus sniping away at Donald Trump. Isn't it interesting hearing the president who had to step in and campaign for Hillary today complain about media bias related to coverage of Clinton's problems, asking questions about why the media isn't covering the issues, and talking about the policy that she advocates versus Trump, which is absolutely hilarious. Isn't it nice for a change to hear the Clinton advocates in media having to defend her the way the Trump advocates have had to defend him? Isn't it interesting to hear the Clinton advocates defending the lack of transparency from the Clinton campaign because she can't even be honest about this? Well, when did she have pneumonia? Does she have pneumonia or not? When did the campaign know that she had pneumonia or not? Who in the campaign knew? And so forth and so on. But some disclaimers and cautions on this. First of all, having your face plastered all over media isn't necessarily a bad thing if it is handled right. Remember the impeachment of President Bill Clinton for receiving oral sex from an intern in the Oval Office. That was seemingly an insurmountable career-killing problem that, in fact, was surmounted and didn't seem to dent the former president's career in the least. Certainly, his legacy has been in question since then, but you still hear people say that they think he was one of the country's best presidents. I don't necessarily agree with that, but Democrats pine away for the days of, at least mainstream Democrats pine away for the days when Bill Clinton was president. Second, and I have to say this, I am sick and tired of everybody on Facebook and Twitter and anybody who has a blog or YouTube channel or is on television as a the contributor, which, by the way, is my latest. The word contributor just makes me ill. Anybody, these people basically go on television for free, you know, on any of the cable channels as contributors is a meaningless job title. And it's hilarious to have these people who don't know anything telling me what they think is wrong with the former secretary. First of all, I am not going to tell you what I think's wrong with her. I have no idea what is wrong with her, first of all. Second, I don't like her. I never liked her. I think she is crooked. I don't think she's ever told the truth about anything, probably a day in her life. So IT underlings taking the fifth about smashing BlackBerries and God knows what else is nothing new for her or for the country as it pertains to the Clintons. If you actually trust her, believe in her, or think she will make a good president, I think you're sadly mistaken. But then again, you know, that's your prerogative. If you think she is a reptilian client, a member of the Illuminati, some kind of alien, a secret lesbian, whatever, fine. But you do not know what is wrong with her or if anything is wrong with her, and no one else knows. The Facebook posts this week are ridiculous. One of the most ridiculous ones is she had a stroke. First of all, there is no proof that she had a stroke at any time. The stroke theory is based on falsified medical records from her doctor. So no, there is no proof that she had a stroke. There's no proof she's dying. No proof that she has cancer. You know, just because you say she had a stroke and then later at some point she comes out and says, yeah, I admit it, I had a stroke, does not make you right. It just makes you a lucky guesser. You know, if you're that good, please post the winning lottery numbers this week so I can win $100 million. Much of this stuff that you're reading is based on misinformation from shows like InfoWars and YouTubers. And I love the YouTube conspiracy people. And oh, this is the other one that drives me crazy. People saying, it's very interesting that now apparently everyone has to say that it was a conspiracy theory until she had a collapse. It is a conspiracy theory and has been a conspiracy theory that she has some kind of health problem, because they will conflate her health problems with all kinds of other issues, that she's having nervous breakdowns, that she is a reptilian alien, that she's a part of the Illuminati conspiracy, that they're trying to get rid of her, that the Russians are doing this to her, and on and on and on. And without any real information as to what is wrong or not wrong, it is nothing more than informed speculation, which makes it conspiracy theory, right? So when you say it has been the purveyance of conspiracy theorists, or the territory in the territory of conspiracy theorists, if you don't believe me, watch YouTube for half an hour. Go on YouTube and enter Clinton, and you're going to get the, you know, 500 videos, all of which have different theories about what is wrong with her. That's what we call conspiracy theory. There's no proof about it. You can say it. You know, it's a free country, I guess. You know, you have the right to free speech. You can say just about anything you want to say, especially about public personalities. But people need to know that you can say anything about a public personality, because they relinquish their rights to being able to say, hey, you're slandering me, because the rules for slander and libel of public personalities is a little bit different than private individuals. The conspiracy theories, because of that, are not based on fact. They're just nothing more than informed speculation. And the other thing is, just because you find a doctor, somebody, to come on and say what he thinks is wrong with her, doesn't mean that he or she knows what is wrong with her. The latest one is that she's traveling with, is this her doctor? She's traveling with a doctor. Well, of course she's traveling with a doctor, you know. I will tell you a little story. When I was covering the campaign in Iowa, you know, I was going all over the state to different events. And at one point, one rainy night at about 1 o'clock in the morning, I was rolling down the highway somewhere, and a motorcade passed me. So it was a Yukon, two Yukons at a Crown Vic, and following them up was an ambulance. And it was probably God knows whose campaign, whether it was the governor or, you know, a rich guy going to a hospital or whatever. There is always an ambulance nearby any of these events for these candidates, because if something happens to an attendee, if something happens to the candidate, especially when they reach the level of being presidential candidates, medical facilities are never far away. I think it is interesting that they didn't take her to a hospital. I think it is interesting that they did not put her in an ambulance, and because I guarantee you that one was available. Is she traveling with a doctor? Probably she is. I'd be surprised if she isn't. What does that mean? Who knows? We don't know what it means, because it is a speculative statement based on a speculative statement. Just because she travels with a doctor, just because you can find a doctor on Breitbart to say what he thinks is wrong with her, regardless of whether that man was a former presidential candidate, that doctor is just making a slightly more informed guess. If you know anybody that has been ill, when you ask somebody, what's their problem, or what should I do about this, that, or the other thing, they'll say, well, what about this? What about that? What about this? Then you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, no, 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 that's nonsense, or that's an old wives' tale, or that's not going to work in this case because dot, dot, dot. We are not going to know what has happened or is happening with the former secretary. The reason for that is the Clintons are not going to tell you the truth about what is wrong with her, period. You will never know. It's likely that even if she doesn't win the presidency, people will never know what was wrong with her, if anything was wrong with her. Now, the good news is, or it's the bad news if you're a Democrat, the video of Clinton on the 11th of September 2016 collapsing on the street is just simply not a good thing politically. Americans do not want a president who falls down. If you don't like the Democrats and their candidate, this may be all you need. On the other hand, there is a possibility for the sympathy vote, in that some people might say they're being really mean to her, she's working really hard, blah, 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 so I'm going to give her a sympathy vote. And don't discount that. given time and proper public relations, they actually might survive this. 50 days left until the election. There's plenty of time to pull it out. And let's not forget the Clintons managed to outwit the witless Republicans who were trying to impeach him back in the 90s. So now, I don't think this is necessarily the final nail in the quote-unquote coffin for Hillary Clinton. However, it could be. But, you know, although the polls were taken before this incident, she still leads in the toss-up states. And by the way, just because it is a toss-up state doesn't mean Trump will win it. Now, the polls are tightening. I look at the state-by-state polls daily. So really, the next spate of state-by-state polls are going to tell the story of the immediate time frame, and we're going to have to see those polls and see what happens after this to be able to say for sure whether this is a once-in-a-campaign, once-in-a-lifetime screw-up. And by the way, the national, quote, presidential preference polls that you hear talked about all the time in the mainstream media are not good indicators, because remember, we're talking about Ohio and Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Virginia and North Carolina and South Carolina and Georgia and Florida and Colorado and Arizona and Las Vegas, right? We're not just talking about a national poll. Can she still win? Yes. Could she lose? Yes. Why? Well, basically, this two-party system has produced two of the worst candidates in U.S. history. Both party structures and leadership are incompetent in that they don't know how to address the major challenges of the next few years. If you've listened to the last 10 podcasts that I've done, you know that this is the ongoing issue. And I would actually urge you to listen to those podcasts, the last 10 at least, because you'll understand what I've been talking about for months and months and months. The U.S. electorate, that is the voters, are confused, angry, frustrated, and polls show high negatives for both candidates. So even the people who might be considered partisans for one or the other aren't really convinced either one of them is the right choice for the future of the country. The Republicans produced no good candidates this year. I'm sorry, but Donald Trump is a disaster. The Democrats produced Hillary Clinton instead of the grassroots candidate who is a perfect reflection of the Democrat electorate, which is a socialist. Personally, I think this is the beginning of the breakdown of the current two-party system. One or both of these parties is going to splinter and die, and a new party will rise out of it, but not in this election cycle. Well, another thing that happens around Labor Day is the weather changes in Minneapolis and St. Paul. And of course, at first, you know, it's funny because I go barefoot pretty much all summer. So I work at home and I'm barefoot most of the time. And I go to yoga barefoot. And I mean, you know, your feet toughen up and you can walk on concrete and you can walk on glass and, you know, it's no big deal. And tonight when I was coming in, they were saying, boy, you're not going to be able to go around barefoot much longer. And that is true because it's starting to cool off. And when it starts to cool out, you're going to want to turn the heat on. And when that happens, it may not work. And that's why you want to have Ryan Plumbing and Heating come out and check your heating, check your water heater as well, and ask them about in-floor heat and ask them about high-efficiency heat, which they can install. If you can do it now, you'll save a lot of money over the next few winters, and it'll essentially pay for itself. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, online at RyanPlumbing.com, metro-wide from St. Paul. And of course, that means the suburbs too for four generations. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. And they do great emergency service for residential and business. Ryan Plumbing and Heating on University Avenue in St. Paul. Once again, in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Doesn't matter what side of the river that you're on, if you want reliable service, whether you're in Plymouth, whether you're in West St. Paul, you want to get Ryan Plumbing on the phone. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488 for four generations. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcasts. So there you have what I consider to be the latest on the Hillary Clinton thing. In other words, I wouldn't take to the bank anything that anyone says right now, because A, it's a rush to judgment. B, we don't know. We just don't know. And we can speculate, but we don't know. Now, if you want to, you know, watch RT and InfoWars and the conspiracy theory YouTube videos, and enjoy that and believe that, that's your choice. And you could be right, but you could also be wrong. So I'm not going to participate in that because I can't stand when commentators just speculate. I try to stay to at least on the line of this is what we know right now. And I don't know everything. I mean, I'm sure there are facts that I don't know and facts that you know that I don't and facts that I know that you don't. The most damning thing is the video. That's the most potentially damning thing for the Clinton campaign for president. So now what? Well, first of all, I think it's fair to say that we're going to have to see if she is able to get back out and vigorously campaign. Clearly, she has had fainting spells for a while. A fainting spell is what caused the fall that actually resulted in the blood clot on her brain, which her doctor has disclosed, which they got rid of with quote-unquote drugs. If all she has is walking pneumonia, which, by the way, I don't believe, but that's my personal opinion, okay, fine. Then once she is treated, she should be back on the campaign trail, pushing hard. And, you know, as we all know, campaigning for the presidency is a big challenge. So physically, if she has any more incidences, fainting spells, fall downs, memory lapses, confusion, or any other physical or mental issues such as we have seen to date, and there have been several incidences, I don't think that she will win the presidency. I think that that's going to seal her fate. And by the way, I am of the view that the video of her in New York is extremely damaging to her campaign. I don't know if that's going to play out. That's my speculation, but we'll see. If she is ill, having to campaign for the presidency is probably going to make it impossible to conceal. You know, we were talking about this tonight, and supposedly she's going to be out for 2 days. If you have walking pneumonia, you know, and you get up after 2 days, I don't know that that's such a good idea. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens here. Now, to this, because the Clintons are so secretive, actually both campaigns have been very secretive, I think it's interesting that this week a former DNC chair said that contingency plans were in place in case she dropped out. This was quickly denied by the Clinton campaign, and I believe the current DNC chairs, but I don't believe that either. The DNC, first of all, would be wise to have a contingency plan in case that she does decide to drop out for health reasons. It would also be wise for them to leak it to somebody who could take the beating when they deny it, just to get it out there as a trial balloon, to have people be prepared for the possibility that she would have to drop out for health reasons. And by the way, if she faints again, period, they have to, she's going to have to drop out if she has another episode like what she had in New York. Now, as far as a replacement candidate, your guess is as good as mine on that front. I'm sure Joe Biden's available. I'm sure he's probably gotten over grieving for his son who died of cancer, and he's probably ready to roll. Tim Kaine, you know, I don't think Tim Kaine is a strong enough candidate nationally to run for president, but you never know. John Kerry, of course, is still running around. Elizabeth Warren is still running around. And, of course, Bernie Sanders is still running around. So a completely new ticket might be a very interesting development, although I wouldn't hold my breath. My suspicion is that she will refuse to drop out. And by the way, she has to drop out. They can't fire her. It's not like she's in the band, you know, and they can fire the bass player for, what was the band that fired the bass player? The Eagles got rid of their lead guitarist and replaced him with Joe Walsh. This is not that. this is the woman who was nominated by the convention to be the Democrat presidential candidate. You know, she has to quit in order for them to replace her. Remember, it wasn't too long ago, people were talking about contingency plans to replace Donald Trump. So again, these things come up. Who knows what's going to happen in the next 45 days? The really sad thing is the advocacy media and the rush to judgment about what is wrong with her. Again, there's a lot of bad information out there, a lot of information that you should just forget. And I would agree, you know, for those of you that say, why hasn't the media covered this? I would have to say, I think the vast majority of reporters and myself included, probably just said, you know, this is just speculation, because it is still speculation. And I mean, I've watched all those videos on YouTube, and I've watched almost all the conspiracy theories about what is wrong with her. And the closest conclusion that I can come to is nobody knows. And until somebody knows, then there's no point in talking about it, which is why I haven't talked about it. And I'm probably not going to talk about it again until either she falls down again, drops out, or literally expires on the campaign trail. It is true that this is something that papers and television networks with the resources should have reported on, and this is an example of how poorly our media actually covers the news, because most of the time they just they don't really go talk to people. They really don't go down to the scene to find out what is actually happening, and they don't actually look at everything, take it apart and look at all the pieces and report on the pieces. They just take speculation and get quotes and write a story. So this is a huge failure on the part of the big media organizations that have the resources that they could have put people on, and also for organizations like the Philadelphia Inquirer, or no, not the Philadelphia Inquirer. What is it? The National Enquirer. Sorry, Philadelphia Inquirer. The National Enquirer, which was pretty good at investigating Ted Cruz, but apparently fell down on the job when it came to investigating Hillary Clinton. So, but in their defense, doctors are not going to release medical records, because if they do, remember that medical records and doctors are covered by state law and licensing guidelines for doctors, which give them, the patient-doctor privilege, and medical records are confidential. So releasing medical records would be a violation of several state laws and perhaps federal law. So a doctor could lose their medical licenses if they reveal something. And believe me, with the Clintons, yeah, they would be sued if they did. So there's that. Investigating a potential health problem is quite a stretch and difficult, investigative issue. You would have to go around and talk to sources that could be vetted, that would be able to say that, yes, the rumors are true, and here's why, whatever the rumors are. So there's that. The other thing is, I told you in the Walk and Talk podcast, podcast 548, which has since been, updated, that they were going to trot out FDR. And yes, they have trotted out FDR. And they're talking about how FDR was in a wheelchair for most of his presidency and blah, 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 blah. Well, let me tell you a couple things about FDR. First of all, as I said in the other podcast, he was healthy. He just had polio. So when he ran for president in 1932 and 1936 and 1940, he was healthy. He was actually able to walk with leg braces when he was running in 1932 and 1936. And they were very careful, obviously, to present him sitting in cars. They would walk him up to the podium and he would give his speeches, but he was able to stand. We all know that JFK was really almost as incapacitated as President Roosevelt. He had to wear a back brace and ended up having to get getting back surgery to deal with the problems related to Addison's disease while he was president. And of course, that was all obviated by the assassination. So we'll never know whether that would have affected his judgment or his ability to be president. With FDR in 1944, obviously he was not healthy, but his problem was not that he couldn't walk. His problem in 1944 was that his heart was starting to give out. So he did not look good. He looked pale. He was not healthy in 1944, but we were in the middle of World War II, and he had been president for three terms, and he decided that he was going to run again in 44. And again, he was dead 4 months later, but his health was never an issue in the three previous terms. And I don't think people were paying much attention to FDR. And to his credit, he went out and campaigned and more than once did a pretty good job. And I don't believe that Franklin Roosevelt ever collapsed in public. So that's an interesting point. If he had been put through the same situation with TV cameras and stuff that presidential candidates are put through today, well, that's a different thing. Notice they don't mention Woodrow Wilson, who did have a stroke and was incapacitated through, I think, most of the second term of his office, and the First Lady was the actual chief executive in name, and nothing was done. They kept it secret. The White House kept it secret, so nobody really knew that he was as incapacitated as he was. There were also questions about Ronald Reagan's Alzheimer's. Apparently, Nixon almost died at one point because of phlebitis, because of issues that he had while he was president, not to mention the fact that he was quite a heavy drinker, and on and on and on. Presidents are human beings. Candidates for president are human beings, and they make mistakes. I'm not defending her. I'd like to know what's wrong with her. I don't believe that she has pneumonia, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, trotting out FDR is silliness. The question at hand is basically this. In a difficult election, because both candidates are not popular, that is, they have high negatives. I think the negatives on Trump are something like 20% negatives. With Clinton, it's like 17%. Do you want to vote for a president of questionable health? To the credit of the Democrats, would a sick Clinton be a better president on her worst day than a healthy Trump? Because that's really the argument that people had who were in the know with Roosevelt. The people running against him were potentially terrible candidates. Trump is actually older than Clinton, but as I said in the other podcast, age... When you get into your late 60s and early 70s, some people, you know, sort of rally, and other people, you know, struggle. So it's all hard to tell what happens with that. Until he was shot, Reagan was, you know, vigorously healthy in the early days of his presidency. It's your choice, and speculating about what is wrong with her is a waste of time. She's still the candidate. She is not going to be replaced. They can't replace her unless she decides to withdraw. So your vote for president is either going to be for the Republican or the Democrat candidate, or for some third party candidate, and you're going to have to make that choice whether you want to or not for the two mainline candidates, or to risk you know, voting for a third party candidate to make a point, or a write-in, or you know, whatever you decide to do. This is your choice. Wasting time on Facebook with what you think is wrong with her, watching YouTube conspiracy videos, all this stuff is just a waste of time. And quite honestly, the mainstream media and the so-called contributors on mainstream media arguing about what's wrong with her as advocates, and the doctors and everything else, are also a waste of time. A good example is Ann Coulter endorsing Trump, which was a really stupid thing to do on her part, because now whatever he does over the next few years, she's going to have to defend him in her choice if he wins the presidency. Are you going to be able to do that regardless of who you're for and who you're advocating for? And this has been my thing from the beginning. I can't and I won't. And the fact is, I learned the hard way. You think that they are going to do A and they do C or worse or Z, and the outcome is not good. And the prevailing lesson is the raw power of a too powerful government to do things to us we really would rather not have done. And the problem is, it doesn't matter often who you vote for, they still do things to you. None of these people are going to do anything about any of that, because none of these people have a real plan for what the country actually needs, which I'm going to talk more about in future podcasts, because it's time to do that again. You're going to have to make your choice and live with it, period. And there are no answers at this point regarding what's going on, facts, reality, any of that stuff. You know, maybe we got a glimpse into reality this weekend with the Clinton collapse, or not. And Trump supporters, or so-called Republicans, by the way, would be wise not to count too much crow, because whatever the Clintons now have on Trump, they have to use it now, no matter what. So get ready for fireworks here as we get closer and closer to Election Day. And that will probably be the subject of any next, unfortunately, political podcast in this worst election year in a century, maybe even longer, election. By the way, that is the sound of the water being turned on and off here in the house in the middle of the night as we all run and run and run. Thanks for listening to podcast 549, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Once again, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for emergency service and to have your heating checked before the weather changes. 651-224-4771 in St. Paul, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, online, ryanplumbing.com. plumbingandairconditioning.com. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and especially business. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And again, Brush Studio. If you're doing a corporate event for clients, client appreciation, this is a really fun thing to do. It's a diverse world. So your clients, maybe it used to be you could take them out for steak dinners and a boat ride and drink, but those are the days when grandpa and grandma were running the business. You can't do that necessarily now. So here's what you do. Reach out to Brush Studio. They are event planning ninjas. 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700. Brush Studio in the West End, where there's plenty of parking, and it's awesome over in the West End. Brushstudio.net is their website. Check them out online or give them a call. And thanks, of course, to the digital sponsor, the BobDavisPodcasts.com. If you're a pilot, you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings. And don't forget that Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. The bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives because it shows you visually how much lift is underneath your airplane or angle of attack. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. So thank you guys for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show on the Patriot in Minneapolis at 11 p.m. on Sundays. That show moves around. It's designed to be moved around, so I'll let you know of any changes. And it's also, you can listen to archived radio shows at GCNLive.com. And thanks to you for liking, sharing, and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and signing up for the newsletter at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast page. And finally, for donations to Mobile Podcast Command. I've had it out running around, just had it out in Woodbury this week just to make sure everything is running good. And the donations, of course, are for diesel fuel, Komodo Dragon coffee, and beef jerky. Getting ready to take a big trip this fall. So I'll give you more information about that when the time comes. Thanks for listening to Bob Davis Podcasts number 549 at thebobdavispodcast.com.